one gets the feeling one could conceivably see a kind of royal oneness to the Chemical Brothers and Hey Boy, Hey Girl. A little mini tribute there to, obviously, the fabulous news this week from the London base. Somebody who has obviously got a Newcastle take on that, which I'm sure will be fascinating, having followed through a Richard Fitzwilliam scenario. By the way, Katie Grimerson, nice that you like the Chemical Brothers. I wasn't sure whether they might be a little bit too new for yourself. Anyway, Katie will be speaking with us later in the programme, hopefully sandwiched between Sophia Beck, our premier fashion blogger, and indeed Penny Mansfield and Dr. Simon Moore, talking about post-baby relationship stresses. But now, well, we've already trailed ahead to the main man. We are referring to the legend who is...
journalist, TV producer, novelist, and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Yes, Ian Lennox. How are you? Still working on getting you a knighthood, so I think we can actually say Sir Ian Lennox. But what feeling and flavour does the Tyneside wonderment and author, of course, of Gentlemen and Players and many, many more books, including The Brothers, The Net and so on, what are your views on the happy announcements that have been flooding the media, certainly for the last few days?
Very limited, I'm afraid. I stand back in wonder at the fuss of that. Well, it's just a sort of shock and awe of the way that we report royal events.
You don't think we perhaps needed some Johnny Mathis to come across with? And all of this because the world is waiting. Waiting.
Well, I think the Private Eye came up with a headline, Woman Has Baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think about really summed it all up.
Yeah.
It's a very personal thing, isn't it?
So you wouldn't necessarily...
I don't think they should have called him George. I think they should have called him
Ian.
Darren.
Ian. Oh, Darren.
I think Darren would have been good.
Yeah, Darren. I could say that, yeah. Prince
well,
Darren.
If they
King,
had a girl
Darren.
That followed, they could have called her Sharon.
Darren and Sharon.
And they could have said things like, our Darren, get the corgis off our Sharon.
Nice. You see, that's keeping it real.
Brought the roles and closer to the people in that way, you see.
Oh, our Darren, get the corgis off our Sharon. Yeah. I can tell you've been keeping it down, keeping it real, keeping it Tyneside. It's great. I haven't mentioned, obviously, Joe Kinnear's first signing that he's looking to put together, but I bet you're delighted to see the way that is taking shape. Could be an early bet for relegation, I would have thought, if they carry on at this particular stage, but who knows?
No, I don't think so. I think he's been less than successful since he arrived, to put it diplomatically.
Yeah, yeah.
But what people tend to overlook is that we got in such a dreadful state in January that we did actually sign three or four players who were intending to sign in this close season.
Mm. Yeah.
They're already there and running. We certainly need two strikers and a centre-half, but they'll get one of the monsters out of another matter.
Don't most teams, that's a critical thing. I think you could probably put in a bid for Wayne Rooney, that's a thought there.
We did once, you know.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, that's it.
And it triggered off the Man United development.
And that's the magic of the spherical ball game as opposed to the cricket ball game, which is also a spherical ball game. Delighted with the recent results, Ian. I mean, the fact that celebrate good times 2-0, unless we're actually back in the Donald Bradman series, back in the 1936-37 era, when of course we had Fred Perry winning Wimbledon, so there could be an omen there. You know, it looks as though we're going to retain those ashes.
Oh, yes, I think so. I think we've basically got a better side. They're a developing side. I think they're quite a young side, aren't they?
They're Australian, I don't care. No, I didn't say that.
They've got a very strong side. They've got two world-class bowlers, a very good wicket-keeper batsman, and four outstandingly good batsmen, and one of the best young players I've ever seen in Root.
I'm sure John Wenham will be nodding sagely, or as we like to refer to John as Big John. Big John, Big John Wenham. Sorry. Anyway, that's the line there, which I'm working on. It's a work in progress. Are you ready for last night's rocking track from Cameron Tilbury, which is Local Honey by The Bloody Nerve?
Yes, I am. I've had my breakfast.
Put down that air guitar now, Ian Lennox. How did you find Local Honey with The Bloody Nerve, Cameron Tilbury's selection from Nashville this week, of course?
Well, I quite like those big beat things, especially when you're listening down a telephone, because you don't really get very subtle sounds down, down the phone, obviously, so the big kind you want, yeah.
It's nice down the phone. Always worth sort of accessing in that setup. Okay, still to come on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we'll be speaking to fashion blogger, something I know you've got lots of evidence and experience in, Sophia Back, who'll be joining us. She's on greenmean.wordpress.com, thefashionfaces.tumblr.com, frolic72.blogspot.co.uk, just three of the Sophia Back web presences. She's reported for Italian Vogue, and she's on the case, really. Mind you, she didn't seem enthused when I said I was looking for, obviously, her Eastern European perspective on the royal baby. Maybe it's because they got rid of them. Oh, never mind, that's a different line entirely. I'm going to the Tsar and so on. Penny Mansfield and Dr. Simon Moore will be talking about post-baby relationship stressors. Katie Grimerson will be telling us what she's thought of the show so far. More Chemical Brothers, please. Yes, she'll say. And William Sitwell will be back with us together with Den Stevenson, who will be providing us with a little, what do you treat by Herb Miller? That will be Glenn Miller's brother. So lots of exciting things there. Ed, any questions you want to put to the Lennox Meister? You know, he'll deal with most things and bat them fairly solidly back in our direction.
Maybe I missed this, Ian, because I just nipped out of the building, but did we discuss your latest novel, Gentlemen and Players? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't. No.
So we've got... How long have we got, sir?
3 minutes.
We've got 3 minutes. Tell me, who are the gentlemen and who are the players?
Well, the novel sets at the background of cricket. So the gentlemen are the gentlemen, i.e. the amateurs, and the players are the professionals. And it's basically a microcosm of society between the wars, in which there were severe social divisions in England. It amounted almost like apartheid in some cases. Mm-hmm. And it's about a love affair between a professional cricketer, who's outstandingly good at what he does, and a member of the aristocracy. And she falls in love with him, mm-hmm. and because of that, there's all sorts of mayhem breaks loose, because it's not the thing to do. And... I mean, Britain at that time was a place where everyone was meant to know their place. And as the blurb on the book says, Ben Lyndon, i.e. the bowler, didn't know his place. So there was all sorts of ructions occurred because of that.
And did the novel go in the direction that you thought it would when you started out writing it? Did you sort of manage to foresee how the end would actually be?
No, I didn't. It never does.
Right.
Actually, I'm sure you appreciate writing is a very individual process, and there are some novelists who write in intimate detail the plot and everything before they put a pen to paper. Mm. I'm not like that. I sort of tend to get a theme that gets in my head, something that interests me, and take it from there. Just characters who I never envisaged when I started writing appear, and all this sort of thing. It's a strange process for me, because it's like it takes on a life of its own at times, you know. And there are times when, as a character who, for instance, introduced into a book, and suddenly it becomes a major character, and when you start writing, you hadn't even thought of it.
Fascinating, Ian. How can we get hold of your latest book, Gentlemen and Players?
Well, it's on Amazon now, and I'm not putting it on Kindle until near Christmas, because it'll just affect the sales of the paperback. So, but you can certainly get on Amazon, down Lincoln you're talking about. It's in the shops, obviously, in Tyneside. Okay. But it's basically...
There's nothing wrong with actually having a little tourist trip up to Newcastle.
Well, I was going to do that anyway.
Precisely.
I'll look out for it in the shops.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you do it, hopefully it's at the Central Station. If you come into the castle on the train, it's at the bookshop there.
Oh, great, okay.
Or the airport, hopefully, I don't know yet. But it looks like it's going to be.
Or both, perhaps, Ian.
So yes, hopefully, yeah.
So next week, it could well be we have two Newcastle-oriented folk. We have, obviously, Professor Scott Davidson in the studio, Pro-Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln, and Ian Lennox on the phone. Should be
now, Alex, I'm away next week.
Disaster has struck.
Shock horror.
Just, you see, clearly.
Hit and run like that.
Just as the last two questions are beginning to be formulated now, I think,
I know.
You know, 7 days' time, you have a double whammy of joy. It might well be Arthur McKenzie will need to step into your place then.
Oh, I'm sure he would, yes.
Well, then, I think, you know, because clearly, you know, one works on getting the sort of Tyneside impact put together. It's critical. Anyway, those last two
questions. Arthur's moving house at the moment. Do you know Arthur?
Again.
Oh, yes. Well, Arthur's a DIY freak.
I know.
And what he does, he buys a house, knocks down all the walls and everything, and then he has nothing to do, so he moves to another house.
Still, well...
He has a different view of this, of course, but that's my view of it.
Well, in which case, Ian, we will speak and we'll relay to Arthur those details, but those questions, Ed, are...
So, Ian, as much as we love you, the 9 o'clock news won't shift, so we have to say goodbye. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Definitely I have, yes.
And can we look forward to doing it in 2 weeks' time?
No.
Oh.
yeah. You'll come back sometime.
Sometime. It'll be good. Anytime.
Come back.
Anytime. We're not desperate.
Exactly.